Hi, this is Dr. Michelle Robin with Small Changes, Big Shifts. And I believe if you'll change one thing a month, the next 12 months, you'll change your life forever. Thanks for joining me on the journey. Today on Small Changes, Big Shifts, we have a double hitter with Dr. Kim DiAmaro. She has some wonderful mind-body medicine tips and has a powerful story of her own, as well as Tina Hollis, who's going to talk to us about positive psychology. Another great show to help you make small changes that will lead to big shifts. Stay tuned. This month, Small Changes, Big Shifts is powered by Your Wellness Connection in Shawnee, Kansas, and Awaken Whole Life Center at Unity Village near Lee Summit, Missouri. Both centers have multiple modalities: chiropractic, acupuncture, functional medicine practitioners, massage therapy, life coaches, as well as movement arts. Both places are sacred spaces where you can come and connect with you. I would encourage you to check them both out at yourwellnessconnection.com and awakenwholelifecenter.com. Today on Small Changes, Big Shifts, I invited one of my new friends, Dr. Kim DiAmaro, back to share with you. Kim is fiercely committed to guiding professional women with pain, anxiety, or autoimmune illness to become pain-free, anxiety-free, get off medication, balance their hormones, and live a vibrant, healthy life so they easily have the success, impact, and income they deeply desire and deserve. Dr. Kim has been coaching Shelley in my office, and we've been learning wonderful tips from her. You're in for a great show today. Dr. Kim, welcome back to Small Changes, Big Shifts.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, I tell you what, we sure have implemented some of the great tools you gave us last time that we were visiting on my show. So I thought, how fun to bring you back here. So on Small Changes, Big Shifts, the whole thought is to really teach people to make these changes, like one change a month over the next 12 months. And they'll change your life forever. And we want to focus on celebrating what they're already doing, because so many times there's so many things you could be doing that you get a little bit frustrated or overwhelmed. So where the key focus, celebrate, guide, and then connect them. But as we jump into that, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your story?
Well, I'm board certified in emergency medicine, so I've been practicing as a physician for years. But my background is in mind-body medicine, where I've studied a lot about how the body heals itself and what allows the body to open to healing, instead of, you know, in medicine where we're kind of just manipulating the chemistry and trying to move things around, but, you know, connecting with the body's wisdom so that we can open the body to far, far greater power. And I've developed my practice in mind-body medicine now and kind of moved away from the ER practice to assist people with reversing disease instead of just learning new ways to manage it. So, you know, my story really goes back to when I had a chronic illness. I was, you know, having low energy. I was just incredibly tired every day. Chills, pain, joint pain, migraines. And, you know, I went to a whole bunch of different doctors because this was for like over a year. At first it was on and off, and then it was pretty much constant. Started gaining weight. I couldn't run anymore. And, you know, I was just pretty devastated because no one could help me. No one had an answer. My lab tests were off, but it was really not clear what was going on. And after going to, you know, all these different doctors, and I was finally told I had an autoimmune disorder and I'd have to take all these different medications and I had all these different allergies and, you know, here's what you've got. It was like, wait a minute. No one's looking at the root of why is my immune system so flared up and why am I all of a sudden reacting to all these allergens that I didn't used to have any reactivity to. It wasn't like, oh, this is just how your system is. But yet that's what they were sort of telling me. So it really changed everything for me because that's when I started to approach my body in a whole different way, where it wasn't about fighting the symptoms and what's wrong with me and I have to stop this. And it started to be more about, okay, body, what do you have for me? What do you need? How can I support you? And instead of making you wrong, make this right. What is my body moving through that if I would allow it and support it, I could move through this easily and not hold this imbalance? And it was a really radical shift for me. It sounds like a subtle change, but it changed everything because I stopped fighting my symptoms. And in just a few days, everything completely reversed. And within just a little over a week, I had no more symptoms, no more pain. My energy came back. I didn't have food allergies. I didn't have environmental allergies. Like everything completely transformed. And it really shifted like my whole approach to medicine and my whole clinical practice. So that's sort of what it's been like for me. And now my connection with my body is a totally different kind of mind-body connection, relationship, conversation than what most people have who are experiencing that kind of distress and disease. And so it's really radically changed what I've been doing with my patients and my clients.
I want to go into a couple little topics you brought up there. One is mind-body medicine. Can you explain that a little bit more to our listeners?
Our mind has a powerful and immediate effect on everything going on in our body. So if I have the, oh my gosh, I have back pain. Why do I have back pain? And it triggers me into, you know, fear or, you know, I've got to do something about this. It sets off a whole cascade of hormones, neurochemicals, immune system. It's a big inflammatory reaction that happens in the body when I go into fear or I'm trying to control my body or, you know, that fight or flight mode kicks in. So every thought we have ignites chemical responses in the body that affect ourselves physically. And so we think that it's all separate and that, you know, our thoughts don't really matter, that they're not real, but they're very, very real. They're physical, they're chemical, and they affect our physical health.
Well, recently on the show, we had Dr. Patrick Porter from BrainTap Technologies share about the technology he's created over time. I'm not sure if you've seen that yet, have you?
Oh, that's cool. No, I'll have to look into that.
Great. We'll get you all connected. The other thing you said was the body's wisdom. And I think that one of the things I like to teach about is I call it tune into your well-being and that your body's always talking to you. Are you listening? And so I'm curious, what are you listening for when you're listening to your body's wisdom?
Your body sort of speaks to you in so many different ways. And most people, since we're not really present in our body, you know, we're thinking about what we have to do next or what we hope doesn't happen, or maybe part of us is stuck in the past with something that happened in the past and memories playing over and over. And so we're not really present to our body to have the awareness of what's happening in here right now. So we don't experience those subtle whispers, and then the body's going to speak up louder and it's like a scream. So it might be pain or unrelenting fatigue or, you know, anxiety, something that gets your attention in a bigger way. And even then still we are trained to shut it off. I don't want to feel anything in my body. I don't want to feel pain. So we learn to sort of tune ourselves out, and my entire practice is around tuning you back in. It's really simple to do, but the first thing people will say is, I don't feel anything, because they've been so disconnected. And what I've seen is that disconnection, not having the awareness of how my body feels, what my body needs, what foods will nurture me most, do I need rest, do I need activity, not having that connection is the core root of every disease that I've ever seen. And when I've gotten people connected with that, amazing things begin to happen. And virtually every, you know, whether it's a thyroid disorder, adrenal fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, chronic migraine, headaches, depression, anxiety, chronic fatigue, I have seen all of these reverse through this process of connection.
Maybe even backtracking a little bit. So what does well-being mean to you, having years in this field?
It really has to do with that inner connection with your own wisdom. And you ask, what is the body's wisdom? So we'll talk about that. But the mental, physical, and emotional bodies being in harmony. So we could experience well-being. It's really an alignment rather than a physical state, meaning you could, you know, have cancer and actually experience your well-being, where you have this awareness, everything is actually okay. I feel fluidity. I feel a sense of allowing. I feel a sense of freedom. I'm experiencing joy. Our mental and emotional experience of well-being is far, far more important than the physical, because they create what's happening physically. Our mental state and our emotional, which is our chemicals, have an immediate impact on our physical health. So even if we have a physical ailment, or, you know, there's some pain, or there's cancer, or there's, you know, I just lost my leg, you know, something physical that seems unwanted, if we can get into alignment with well-being mentally and emotionally, it will immediately ignite physical healing.
I love that. Immediately ignite. Well, let's keep on moving here. So, like I mentioned, a lot of our listeners get frustrated. We're overwhelmed with all this stuff, especially with all the media coming at us about what we can do to be well. Is it this essential oil, or is it this vitamin, or this exercise, or this DVD tape, or brain tap technologies, whatever it is? What can they do right now to celebrate where they're at?
I am so glad we're talking about this, Michelle, because what I've seen is we are in the universe of more tools, more modalities, learn more, understand more. I've got to grow more and improve more. And what you find is you're in the same place with just more stuff or more tools. And it isn't actually a contribution. So I want to sort of move in the opposite direction and invite our listeners here into a much deeper possibility. So yes, there's, you know, I use a lot of EFT tapping, heart math. I use a lot of different modalities, but the only single solitary important thing that happens, no matter what modalities you use, is that you get connected in your heart. Now, what the heck does that mean? We talked a minute ago about what's your body's wisdom. You are connected to source energy, the source energy that creates the body, the source energy that repairs the body, the source energy that knows to pump your heart and keep you breathing and keep all of these things harmonized. And you do have sort of an internal GPS to guide you into alignment with that. So meaning, just take a big deep breath, receive a breath, allow yourself to relax and release everything. Release what your mind thinks you need to learn from me, or if you're writing things down because you just got to get that next thing. If I just learn this next thing, that's going to make the difference. Release all of that. Because it isn't actually real. It isn't actually true. You don't need the next cool modality or to learn something. And instead, close your eyes and enter into the space of your heart. So just feel your body. Just bring your awareness into your body. Bring your presence into your body. Feel your breath moving through your body. That's the easiest way to really connect with the heart.
Such great wisdom. You know, as physicians, I think our role, we've got this word from one of our other physicians that I interviewed a few years back, Dr. Bridget McCandless. And she said, really, our job is to give guidance. And I think that was wonderful guidance. And I'm thinking about a story. Shelley Murray, our holistic coach, works directly with you, and you're one of her coaches. So thank you for giving her guidance.
Yes.
And she talks about how she's been teaching her grandson, plus our clients, how to put their hand on their heart and look in the mirror and say, I love you.
It's a beautiful thing. It is so simple. And if you actually go and do it, it's incredibly hard if you haven't opened to self-love. And, you know, your body's wisdom, it's like this inner, like I said, an inner compass, an inner GPS to guide you into your natural alignment. Your body knows what is your natural state: joy, freedom, self-expression, allowing, self-acceptance. And so every time we choose the opposite of that, we will feel tension and contraction. It might be just a little bit of like apprehension. But like I said, if you're not connecting in your body, you keep going down that road. It gets more and more intense. And now you've like blocked yourself off to healing. Now there's immune dysfunction. Now there's tension through your whole body, and you have quote unquote fibromyalgia, right? Your body's just in a huge contraction. Your body is a giant receptor registering everything around you, and it does invite you into more expansive, possibilities. So if you're present to your body, you feel your pain, just bring your awareness there and breathe through it. Your body knows how to release that tension and expand into vibrant health. And then it guides my choices. Like I have the awareness, okay, if I keep doing this toxic job, it's not going to be such a good thing for me. So I'm going to open myself to new possibilities. Now the mind's going to say, oh, you can't do that. You'll not make any money. You can't do that. You'll never find a job. You can't do that. Everyone will think you're a loser and you'll be rejected. So if we stay in the mind, there's always going to be more work and more stuff to figure out. And then you go, oh, maybe I should just take Prozac, or maybe I should just do more EFT, or maybe I should do this heart math thing. Like it's just always going to seek more modalities. So the first and foremost thing before you use any modalities is to get present in your heart, feel your body, and allow that opening into your natural state of alignment. So basically just taking 3 deep breaths and saying, body, I love you. I'm ready to let you receive whatever it is you need, and to release my ideas of what I think needs to happen, or my own agenda of what I think we need. And so something as simple as that, put your hand on your heart, look yourself in the mirror and say, I love you, will open you to receiving this wisdom of your body.
Well, that's the way I like to end the show, is with a small change challenge. So we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But before we get to that, to leave our listeners with that challenge, Dr. Kim, how can our listeners find out more about you?
Well, I'm at drkimd.com. And when people subscribe, there's a little quiz that I've brought you through where you kind of get a little more of a sense of what is the root that's holding you back? What's the main root cause? Is it your mindset? Is it unfinished emotions of the past that are still subconsciously pulling you down? Is it fear and anxiety about the future, and your energy's not in your body for that reason? And then I give you a little prescriptive video of how to begin to unwind that right now. So it's at drkimd.com, which is for drkimdoramo.com. And then there's also, I email people out a series of these tools to get you connected in your heart, to bring you out of that fight or flight of the mind. Because like I said, your mind's just going to keep creating more complexity, more stuff for you to do, more hard work, more things to figure out. And there's a great tool in there called the Instant Elevation Technique, where I bring you through a really simple and really quick way of integrating this throughout the day, every day, while you're doing whatever you're doing. You don't have to take an hour to meditate. And it presences you, so you begin to do life from this centered space of your wisdom. So if you go to drkimd.com, it will subscribe you to that, so you can begin to receive those that guidance.
Well, I just want to remind our listeners, we've had you on the show before. That'll be in the show notes. They can listen to our last interview. Shelley Murray, who I've worked with for a decade at Your Wellness Connection, has been studying with Dr. Kim, and it just loves the tools she's learning. Because sometimes when you're so focused on nutrition, you forget the other side of it. And Dr. Kim, that's why I love your work, is that it's really about the whole person and that mind-body medicine. So thank you so much for agreeing to come back on and share with my listeners. And so now as we wrap up, give them that small change challenge. I'm going to encourage our listeners to do this every single day the next week and see how it shifts your life.
Okay, so I want you to just put your hand on your heart and take a slow, deep breath. If you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. If you're driving your car, do it with your eyes open, but do this exercise. And then I want you to feel the space of your heart. There's a different quality to this area. And you can bring to mind someone or something that you love, a child, something that's very easy that immediately opens you to love. It may be if you went on a retreat and the space you were in felt you could connect with love. Whatever it is for you, feel, you know, just with your hand on your heart, feel your breath moving through this space, and bring to your awareness someone or something that you love, and just resonate in that essence. This is your essence. That person is actually assisting you in connecting with your essence, or that place you were at, or that memory you had. It wasn't about that person. It's about something within you that they helped you access. And you now want to invite yourself to access that in every moment. So practice throughout the day. Set your alarm for 3 times a day to place your hand on your heart. Feel this space, this presence within you, and just a gentle whisper and tell that space, I love you. Thank you. I love you. I'm here with you. I love you. Speaking to that space in your heart, receiving that space in your heart, and just breathing. And this will begin to guide you into opening into more and more.
Dr. Kim, wonderful wisdom. Thanks again for sharing on Small Changes, Big Shifts. And now listeners, go out and do that. Share the show and respond to us and let us know how your life shifted by practicing self-care and self-love this week. All right. Blessings to all of you.
Also joining me today on Small Changes, Big Shifts is Tina Hallis. Tina is certified in positive psychology through the Whole Being Institute and a professional member of the National Speakers Association. She earned her PhD in chemistry from the University of Minnesota and worked for 20-plus years in biotechnology at small startup companies and large corporations. In 2011, Tina discovered a new science called positive psychology that focuses on how we can all live our best lives. She immediately saw how important this could be for organizations and their people. So she decided to hang up her lab coat and start her own company, The Positive Edge. Tina, welcome to Small Changes, Big Shifts. Tina, welcome to Small Changes, Big Shifts.
Thank you, Michelle. It's an honor to be here.
Well, there's been a lot of interesting things going on in the world. I'm going to take a different spin than I would normally take. And so part of the goal of Small Changes, Big Shifts is to really celebrate, guide, and connect others. And to me, that also means giving hope. And so there's been a lot going on in our world, not just this week, but pretty much every week. And I'm curious, tell our listeners a little bit about The Positive Edge, your business, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure. So The Positive Edge is a business that I started after I discovered positive psychology. I'm a scientist by background, as you heard, and really to me, The Positive Edge is an important tool to help reach organizations, because if there's one place it's hard to stay positive, it's at work. So I do programs, talks, workshops, trainings to really help people shift the way they think and see things differently. Because like you said, in today's world, it can be really easy to get stuck in all the bad stuff, all the negative things that are going on.
Well, sometimes it's interesting. I've been called maybe a little bit of a Pollyanna. So how do you go from being positive to not a Pollyanna?
Well, like I like to tell people, negativity is not a bad thing. Negativity has its place. It's there to help us keep us safe, to help us make good choices and be cautious when necessary. But the problem is we get stuck there and we spend too much time there. So it's really about letting negativity serve its purpose and remembering to choose and not get stuck in there for too long.
Well, let's talk about that. So first of all, how do people really tie in the word celebrate to what you do when you say choose? Because I know that sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, you can look at what's not working. I know sometimes I work with my hands all the time. And so I'll look down and I've got this really nice aging spot right in the middle of my left hand. I'm like, oh, but you know, it's one of them. So how do we continue to encourage people to celebrate?
That's great. I just want to back up a minute to help sort of frame this, because I think it's really important to understand a little bit about how our brain works and why we get so stuck in the negative. And then I think it's easier to understand why it's so important to celebrate. What I think everyone needs to understand is this negative bias, this just natural tendency to anticipate the worst things that are going to happen, to remember and dwell on all the bad things. This is actually part of our survival instinct. It's part of our primitive brain. It's natural, it's normal, and that's okay. But the trick is to realize that we do have a choice, and that if we can notice this happening in the moment, right? Oh, look, here I am replaying the news that I saw or replaying this argument that I had, that we can say, you know, this negativity is not serving me. I can't do anything with it to make things better. So I'm going to choose differently. And there's techniques and strategies we can use to help make this easier, to help remember we have a choice, to help make that choice. And really the choice is about yes, there is negativity out there. There are bad things. There's a lot of wonderful things too. And our brains don't notice the good things because from a survival instinct, when things are good, our brain says, boring, who cares? You don't need to pay any attention to that because you don't need to do anything to keep yourself safe. But we can override that by being intentional and noticing the good things and then celebrating them and enjoying them. Because again, if we aren't purposeful about it, it's just not natural for our brains to tune in.
So what you just said, I want to go back to that. So the brain likes did I hear you say the brain likes chaos?
It does like chaos, but the brain definitely focuses on all the bad stuff, the negative, the problems. You know, it's looking for danger, anything to keep us safe.
Because I've heard before that the body likes routine and the brain likes chaos.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does it make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are some ways, you said you have some tricks, some tools. What are some tips you would give our listeners?
Oh, some of my favorite ones that I use, and I just like to let people know, not only have I gone back, become certified in positive psychology, I'm not just sharing the theory here. These are strategies and practices that I've used that have helped me as I've reinvented myself, gotten laid off, started my own company. So these are things I've used to survive the uncertainty, the waves of nausea, you know, all of the challenges that come with those kinds of adventures. And some of my favorite strategies, and here's one that I use several times a day, is to just take a few slow, deep breaths. I mean, we hear about breathing techniques and taking time for breathing, but when we can do this, it lowers our heart rate, lowers our blood pressure, helps purge, you know, the negative cortisol out of our system, helps us think more clearly. And sometimes after I do that, a few minutes later, I have to do it again if things are really tough. But it's such a great way to calm and equilibrate our thinking.
Well, I think breathing is a wonderful thing. We've had some wonderful guests have talked about that in the past. So what are some other tools? Because, you know, I think they say the breath, especially when you take a breath with somebody else, it kind of connects you soul to soul instead of roll to roll.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some other tricks you have besides breath?
Okay, here's one I've been doing with my daughter, who's now 10. I think we've been doing this for at least 4 years now. And here's what you do is once a day, you take a moment to think back to a few positive things that have happened, a few good things, simple little things. Because when we come home from work, it's normal and natural to vent about all the bad stuff that happened. But then we can also intentionally look for some good things. And so when I tuck my daughter into bed at night, we each share a couple of good things that have happened. Could be, for example, if I have a program and I'm driving somewhere, and if there is no road construction, yay! Or there was a green light when I was in a hurry, yes, exciting! Or for her, it could be she had macaroni and cheese for supper, or, you know, the little things. To look back and to train our minds to begin to start noticing them by just taking that time every day, maybe it's dinner time, bedtime, maybe it's writing in a journal, to just remember those good things.
Small changes, big shifts.
Mm. Yes.
Well, I you know, looked at some of your recent blogs, and you've got a great website, thepositiveedge.org. And one of your blogs was a productive kind of lazy. And I think that so many people think they've got to be going, going, going. We're almost addicted to going, that when we do sit down, and I just had a client tell me this, I feel like when I'm just sitting around, I'm lazy. How would you respond to that?
Oh, isn't that so true? That is such a just a theme in our society today. What I've learned, again, going through this process and looking at the studies and research, is that taking that time to reflect, to think of the good things, to spend time with friends, to reflect back on a favorite memory, all of these things are not a waste of time. When we can look and see how the research supports that this charges our batteries, makes us more efficient and productive, you know, makes us more resilient. So it's really an investment that it's kind of like when you invest time to go to the gym and work out, right? You feel like you're doing something because your body's moving, but sometimes just sitting still and taking that moment to be or to reflect, to think of some good things, it really is rewiring your brain, helping you get better at noticing the good things in the future, which is ultimately going to give you a higher quality of life overall.
So thinking about the stress that's been going on in the world, we're talking just for our listeners, and thinking about how do you guide people through that, especially with maybe talking to their children? How are you guiding people through this time?
That is a tough one. I think it's really important to validate people's feelings and say, yes, this is going to make you sad, angry, upset, and that's okay, and that is normal. Again, if you can channel that energy into doing something about it, if there's, you know, something in your profession or if you're part of an organization where you can have an impact, make a difference, channel that energy into taking action. If you are upset and there's no action to take, if there's nothing you can do, then it's really saying, okay, I'm feeling bad about this. Sometimes I even tell people, give yourself a time limit. Say, okay, I'm going to feel bad about this for, I don't know, 10 minutes, whatever makes sense to you. And then say that I'm not going to get stuck there because it's not serving me. It's not helping anybody else. It's draining my energy and preventing me from using that energy for other things that are good, that I could have an impact.
You know, I think the reframing, and I like how you said to give yourself a time limit. I think even kind of watching the news, you know, you find yourself leaving it on and it's basically the same thing every 30 minutes. Mm. And so maybe putting yourself a time limit. Yes, you want to know what's going on, but maybe it's only that the 5-10 minutes or you get on whatever internet that will tell you some things and not getting sucked in hours later.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think to just recognize the fact that it's normal. Our brains are attracted to the bad news and the problems. And the news people, you know, they know this, so they will play it up as big as possible because they know that that's how our brains are wired. But if we can understand that and begin to notice that, then we can just recognize and say, okay, thank you very much for helping keep me safe, but now I need to also honor the time that I have and to actually choose what I want to focus on and think about.
Goes back to that word choice again. Mm-hmm. It's such a powerful word. I just love words. So what are some resources offering that you can connect our listeners to that could help guide them and encourage them through this time?
Mm. Well, I certainly offer, you know, as you mentioned, my blog. I think there's you can go back through some of the different categories, some strategies for dealing with negativity. I have a category on that, just how can you deal with that? There's some great books. Some of my favorite authors in their books, just to mention a couple so I don't overwhelm people. Tal Ben-Shahar, S-H-A-H-A-R, has great books about happier, those are some of his titles of his books. Barbara Fredrickson and positivity. I love her stuff. She's been a thought leader in this area before the words positive psychology were even coined. If you go to my website, I have under my weekly tips, there's a resource tab, and I list other books, other websites, you know, great places to go. Just check out what resonates with you and what you can find helpful.
When I close up the show, I like to leave our listeners with a small change challenge. What challenge would you give them today?
I would challenge them to start noticing their thoughts, to start tuning in. Just, you know, sometimes I tell people use a piece of jewelry, use your password, use something in your pocket. And every time you type in your password, every time you notice that jewelry, tune in and say, okay, what am I thinking right now? What am I focusing on? And is it serving me? Or is it really just draining my energy?
How do you know it's draining your energy? What's that feel like?
Oh, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes when we're in that moment of negativity, of replaying a negative thought, we are so engulfed in it that we can't even hardly pay attention to it. But from an outsider's point of view, someone else can look and say, oh my gosh, why are you making yourself so miserable with that? So I think when you can tune in and notice that, it's really any kind of negative thought, replaying some past event, worrying about some future thing that you can't do anything about, and just saying, this right now, I can't do anything about it, so it's not serving me, I can't take an action on this. And so I need to shift my thoughts and think about something I'm grateful for, something good around me, but that my brain is not wired to focus on normally, but I can choose to see it.
Well, you use two of my favorite words that I talk about a lot when I'm teaching. One is notice. You know, what do you notice? What do you notice what you're focusing on? What do you notice about how your body feels? What do you notice about when you get up in the morning? Did you have a good night's sleep? What do you notice when you're around that person, friend, and how do you feel? And so notice and tuning in are two of my favorite words. Tino, any last words of wisdom you'd share with our listeners?
One of the common questions I get after my programs is, what should I do with the negative people in my life? I'm trying to be more positive. I think I'm fairly upbeat, but this negative person that, you know, maybe it's even their partner or somebody at work, is bringing me down. What can I do? And I think the answer surprises some people, because what the research shows and what I have found to be so true in my own life is we think we need to change them, but we all know the only person we can change is ourselves. But if we judge them for being negative, that doesn't help them. If we accept them and say, you know, a lot of negativity is genetic. I mean, there's studies that show that sometimes for some of us, half of our ability to be positive is genetic. And if we just accept people for where they're at, that's when I found that people actually do start to change.
Really great advice today. And I want to encourage our listeners to check you out. To check out Tina Hallis at thepositiveedge.org, and your small change challenge this week is to really notice your thoughts. And I loved how Tina tied it into something that you do to kind of create a habit, whether it's grabbing your car keys or a stone out of your pocket or your password, something that helps you notice, and so you can start to reframe and shift your thinking back to some positivity. Tina, thank you for sharing your wisdom on small changes, big shifts.
Oh, thanks for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
I sure appreciate you listening to Small Changes, Big Shifts. If you go to our website, drmichellerobin.com, we'll have the show notes for you there. If this episode inspired you to make a small change that will lead to a big shift, please share it with a friend. And feel free to leave us a rating or review on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe so you'll catch our episode next week. Blessings to you.